The Rocket Mortgage Classic is in today, too. Mr. Alvey, how are you, sir?
Pinda, I'm good, my boy. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm in the Columbia Valley today. I will be back to Calgary on Sunday and looking forward to, you know, getting out and golfing with you at some point. You're going to disappear soon. I think, what, you're less than a month now from, what, the PGA Championship when you get underway your broadcasting season, right?
Yes, I should have been in Detroit this week, but obviously given COVID and the current state of the world, it was not a problem to be able to stay at home and watch this one on the television, although we're witnessing an absolute display by Bryson, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We'll get to that in a moment. You've got the luxury of, okay, at least if I can't work due to COVID, I'm going to play these beautiful mountain courses that I normally don't get to play all summer because I'm traveling. So tell us where you're playing today, and also the theme of the day. We're whittling down a cocktail bracket to 16 that we will launch next week. Okay. What is the perfect post-golf 19th hole cocktail? No highballs, no beers, you know, Margarita Caesar, Moscow Mule, Mimosa. Maybe it's an Aperol Spritz. I know that was big in Oz when I was last there. What's the go-to cocktail for Luke Alvey, and where are you playing today?
Look, I'll answer where I'm playing today straight away. The Banff Springs. It's just such an absolute gem out here in the mountains, as you well know, and looking forward to getting back out there. The courses in the valley are superb at the moment, and thoroughly enjoying being able to get round and play them all. You know, the double at Kananaskis and obviously Silvertip, Stewart Creek, Canmore and the like. But Banff it is today, and thrilled to be getting out for a hit in about an hour's time. I know you've been playing some beautiful golf in your parts as well right now. But as per the cocktails, well, I'm going to be a bit biased here. My favourite golf cocktail, and maybe it's because it's enjoyed at Augusta National, is the Azalea. It is a vodka-inspired drink. It has vodka, soda, a little bit of grenadine, a splash of grenadine, plus a little line of coconut rum, a little dash of coconut rum, plus some pineapple, like fresh, like cherry or whatever. It's an absolutely delicious cocktail. If you ever go to the Masters, order yourself an Azalea and keep the plastic cup it comes in.
Yeah, wow, okay, that's a new one to me. I like it. And what is it? They also have, like, what, pimento and cheese sandwiches that are just a riot? Everyone loads up on those things, like $3 or something hilarious?
Yeah, I skip those. I'm not a big pimento cheese guy, but I don't want to, you know, it's almost like blasphemous to say that when you're at Augusta National. Okay. The Simple Egg Salad sandwiches there are outstanding, and I probably smash about 40 of them during the course of the week.
Okay, good. So we got your sandwich and your cocktail covered. We know where you're playing today. Now we can get to the business at hand. Bryson DeChambeau was clearly in a garage with protein powder and a huge bench press rack. That's all he's done for 3 months because he looks like a transformed human. He looks like Barry Bonds, you know, with 70-plus home runs. This guy looks like he's closer to bodybuilder than golfer. And the results aren't just showing up on your TV screens with his physique, but he's absolutely destroying the ball off the tee, which you talked to us about a couple of weeks ago. He thinks this might be the strategy to win in today's PGA or to win the big tournaments today. But the results are he's not messing around. This is working exactly as he's planned it thus far.
It's mind-blowing. I'm actually sipping on a protein shake as we speak, just trying to work out how to put on an extra 20 pounds myself and smash it that far. But look, the reality of all this is Bryson DeChambeau is this kind of guy. He likes to work things out. He likes to be different. He's been doing it since the college days when he had the same length irons. It's just he wants to find his way, and he's doing it. And what is it, 6 or 7 of these protein shakes a day? He's smashing some 7,000 calories. He's pumping iron. He's just melting the ball with some great swing speeds. The numbers he's hitting, it is astronomical. You know, we're seeing balls fly 350 in the air. You know, we were talking about Cameron Champ and Matty Wolf coming out on tour just in the last 12 months, and we're like, wow, these guys hit it a mile. They're hitting it 340, 350. He's flying the ball that far sometimes. This morning on PGA Tour Live, Bubba Watson hit this drive, and, you know, gorgeous Bubba Watson, big carving, fading shot, and he goes, try that, Buck. Hit that, Bryson. Well, Bryson flies at 40 past him. So, jeez, you know, we were mesmerized by what Bubba did half a dozen years ago, and now we're at a level where even Rory and DJ and Brooks and all these big hitting players on tour, they've just shot their jaw on the floor. everyone's talking about Bryson because he has found a way. It's almost like getting the cheat codes in a video game. He's now found the way that I'm broken through the barrier, and good luck to the rest of you. As he said yesterday, he shot 6 under. He's a shot off the pace with 4 bogeys, mind you. And he said, oh, it's just my B game. He was disappointed the way he played. And it really is almost every tournament he's going to play in is his to lose because he's also putting beautifully as well. His wedge game's on point. There's so many things that he's doing great. It's just he's taking it to another level.
I think the stat yesterday someone brought up, Bryson on a par 5 that was nearly 600 yards long went driver 9-iron to get to the green. Like that, this is incredible stuff. Does this translate to immediate success in all majors? Is this all with eyes on the Masters, which Phil has famously told us is about hitting bombs as far as you can and then just trying to get your way onto the greens and knowing which way they're going to roll? I mean, how does this play out for him? Do you think this is a new world number one for a long time, or is this going to take a while to figure out for him?
Well, the sustainability of it is the big question, and this is what we discussed a couple of weeks back. How long can his body hold up just simply mashing the golf ball every time he stands over it? You know, it'll take one tweak of the lower back or something to end it all like that. But until that's the case, yeah, he'll turn up at every event expecting to win. Just play half decent, I should be right there on Sunday. Now, I have saved Bryson in my one-and-done competitions for the majors because they're worth double points to answer that question of, is he the guy to win the majors? Absolutely he is. It's just an enormous advantage to be coming in at these greens from 50, 60 yards in front of your rivals because that translates to 4 or 5 different clubs. You know, he's hitting a driver 9-iron to a par 5 that's stretching out close to 600 yards. There's no golf hole that's safe. He can get after anything at any time, and it's just a potent weapon to have.
It's crazy to see. Is the Masters the biggest one where that strategy favors him or not? Is it any course when you can cut the corner 350 yards in the air?
And that's what we're seeing, right? He's not looking at the golf hole how it was designed to be played. You know, knock a nice little long iron down into the corner there and then a strong mid-iron into the green. He's going, okay, well, if I can bomb at 380 across the corner, I'll have a flip wedge onto the green. So the golf hole's now just how he ever sees to hit the driver. And, you know, you've got the width at Augusta National, the ability to come in with higher, softer clubs into those greens that, you know, you've got to hit them into the right quadrants. It is absolutely a big win for the Masters, but TPC Harding Park in a month's time for the PGA, have at it. I mean, he's just going to crush that place.
Crazy stuff to watch. We're chatting with Luke Elvey, golf broadcaster based out of Canmore, who will be back at it in early August to start his broadcasting season. When do we see Tiger Woods return, and what does his season look like? Because these majors that we do have are pretty close together, and he's a guy that's been very careful about his workload, and rightfully so with all the havoc his body's gone through in the last decade.
Yeah, and we were all thinking maybe he'd play once before we got to Muirfield Village, which is Jack's tournament, the memorial, where he's won it 6 times or 5 times. You get to a point where you think maybe he'll come back because we saw in that match that he played with Peyton against Tommy Brady and Phil Mickelson that he was just in irresistible form, that he'd go and take advantage of it. But Tiger being Tiger is focused on one thing, and that's breaking Jack's record. So he's going to give his body everything it needs to rest to be right for those 3 majors that are left on the table this season. So I expect him to play at Muirfield, which is in a fortnight's time. Yes, there's another tournament at Muirfield next week, but it's only worth, what, $6.5 million, not the $9.3 million that they're up for at the Jack's tournament. So I think he'll play one of those, the Jack event, and then he'll play the WGC at Memphis, maybe, or the PGA the preceding week. Sorry, the following week. So he'll have 3 starts in the next 5 weeks if he plays all 3. But then there's only a week off before you've then got the playoffs and then the US Open. However, I don't think he's going to be terribly interested in the playoffs. He might play in 1, possibly 2 of the playoffs to get ready for that US Open. But it'll be the PGA, the US Open, and Augusta National for the Masters, which are his focus. And if it ends up being that he only plays 4 times this year, one of them will be at Muirfield Village in a fortnight, and the other 3 will be majors.
We've seen some really good results from Canadians on the PGA Tour this year. Mackenzie Hughes with the 10 under 60 last week. Adam Hadwin's off to a good start in Detroit this week. Corey Connors has had a really strong last 12 months or so. Nick Taylor's won on the tour as well.
Yeah,
Where's the state of Canadian golf for you? And who is your horse out of that group, or is it too tough to tell at this point?
Yeah, that's very hard to tell, but what I do like is that the stable is working beautifully together. They're all playing well at certain times, so Canadian flags are on the leaderboard every week. And this takes me back, being an Australian, to the mid-2000s, when almost every week we'd have an Aussie in contention to win or winning. And now Canada's doing that, and it's just sensational. You talked about Corey Connors, what a wonderful talent he is. He excites me because his ability to go low. Now Mackenzie Hughes is starting to just settle in out on tour now. He had that early win in his career, and he's starting to feel a lot more comfortable. We know the class of an Adam Hadwin, it's for everyone to see. He's a President's Cup on top of just an outstanding player. So, and with Nick Taylor's win, it's just halcyon days. But there's more of them coming through. There's so many more young Canadians who are now stepping up. And I'm calling this the Mike Weir generation. Everyone who is inspired by Tiger is out on the tour, for Americans and world golf. But Mike Weir has inspired a lot of these guys. They've all seen that guy win the Masters at 03, and here we are 15, now 17 years on, and they're ready. They're at this stage where they're ready to compete with the best, and they're doing it. And it's very exciting to see.
I recall the first time I met you, it was like a Christmas party in Calgary, I want to say like 4 years ago, maybe five. We had a mutual acquaintance and we ended up talking golf. And I asked you at that point, which young Canadian do you like? And I really was kind of surprised. You said Mackenzie Hughes, and he's really starting to show that now. But it does illustrate how long a play this game is, and how much time it does take to go from really, really great to winning tournaments on the PGA. And as you say, getting used to being out there. What did you like about his game early on that you mentioned his name and not some of these other great young guys? Because it's starting to show now with his results.
Well, his pedigree, he's the Canadian amateur champion. He did some exceptional stuff at junior level and then into the college realm before he turned pro. And then he had that early win. Everything about him strikes me as the kind of guy who's just going to have great longevity. He is a worker. He will put in the time and effort. He's dedicated to his craft. He's been just driven for success ever since he was a young boy. His mother told stories of when he was 7 or 8, he would literally just get to the course first light and he'd play there all day until it was time to get, back for dinner, or heaven forbid it was dark time at, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the middle of summer. He just worked and worked and worked on his game to be the best he could. And when people do that, they've got a dedication level that just goes beyond people who are, I'd like to play golf, or I wouldn't mind getting on the PGA Tour. These people are driven. And people that are driven or have a certain level of desire for success, they just stand head and shoulders above the rest.
I feel good. I feel like that course record in Banff is in trouble. This is the pep talk you've given us and yourself that you need today. Yeah. Have fun.
I believe I'm more chance of downing a couple of azaleas post-round than I am of shooting the course record. But thanks very much for the chat, and good to see Canadian golf flying, and hope everyone's enjoying their own golf season.
Right on. And now I got a new cocktail to try. I've not had an azalea, so that's we've each got the checklist. Go get the course record. I'll get an azalea. We'll catch up in a few weeks.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Ryan.
Luke Alvey.